Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107, Wednesday class, February 21st, 2024, 2 Corinthians.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We are in this great passage, 2 Corinthians 5, verses 1 through 10. And in preparation to worship our Lord this evening, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, that as we witness the apostasy, the degeneracy all over the world, as we witness that evil is good and good is evil, we thank you, sir, that Jesus Christ controls history. We thank you, Heavenly Father, your perfect plan, as revealed in your word, is working its way out. And we thank you, sir, for the preservation of the canon of Scripture, that eternal and absolute truth of your word that enables us to grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ and fulfill the very plan, will, and purpose that you have for each one of our lives. And as we assemble this evening to fellowship in the Word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Let's start the corrected translation this evening at verse 6. Therefore, we always have confidence. We are winner believers. We refers to those who are making good decisions. Good decisions to live the spiritual life by the spiritual skill. Good decisions to make Bible doctrine more important than the air that they breathe. Good decisions to have advanced to maturity and have virtue love brought to completion in our hearts. Therefore, we, winner believers, always have confidence and know that while we are at home in the house and tent of the human body, we are out of the house of the interim body and future resurrection body, away from the Lord. Verse 7, for we, winner believers, walk by faith and absolutely not by sight. Verse 8, we, winner believers, are confident and courageous, I say. And for a far better reason, we prefer to be out of the house, out of the body, our human body, and in the house, face to face with the Lord, in our interim body and eventually our resurrection body. In verse 8, the verb to have confident and be courageous is the Greek word thareo. It's the same verb that the Apostle Paul used in verse 6. And this verb means to be confident, to have maximum confidence in God and maximum confidence in the Word of God. And that is the winner believer. And it also means to be courageous. Courageous toward man, courageous toward our circumstances, courageous in times of suffering for blessing. And that's a special category of greater grace blessings that God can only give to the winner believer. Once you grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ and attain spiritual maturity, now God is free to pour out this magnificent category of greater grace blessing, suffering for blessing, to demonstrate so that you can glorify God in times of suffering as well as in times of prosperity. And when you receive this package of suffering for blessing, it also means that you have waiting for you at the judgment seat of Christ, greater grace blessing for all eternity will be yours, given to you, crowns, rewards at the judgment seat of Christ. That follows the dispensation of the church age. That follows the rapture, the resurrection of the royal family. Then we have our great evaluation. That's called the Greek Bema Seat, the judgment seat of Jesus Christ. So this verb, thareo, is a magnificent word. To be confident, to have maximum confidence in God, maximum confidence in the Word of God, and to be courageous. Courageous toward man, courageous toward our circumstances and adversity, courage in times of suffering for blessing. It means total assurance in your thinking as a result of maximum metabolized doctrine in your heart. As a result of growing up spiritually in the grace orientation, and the knowledge, doctrinal orientation of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, you have unshakable confidence in your soul. Both confidence and courage are developed in the soul of the church age believer who lives the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, by being filled with the Spirit, empowered by God the Holy Spirit, and functioning under the teaching ministry of God the Holy Spirit. The church age believer consistently and faithfully learns, believes, and applies the aletheia, the absolute truth of the God-breathed scriptures to his life. Bible doctrine circulating in the stream of consciousness of the heart develops divine solutions, God's problem-solving devices to enable the winner believer to clear the hurdles of suffering for blessing in time. Learning and believing doctrines of the Word of God, those doctrines related to phase 3, eternity and heaven and our interim body and resurrection body, gives the believer a personal sense of destiny. And a personal sense of destiny, maintaining the eternal perspective, being occupied with Jesus Christ, gives the winner believer tremendous confidence and courage. Courage is thinking Bible doctrine. It is the winner believer thinking divine viewpoint, thanking the Word of God in times of suffering for blessing. For the winner believer, the invisible, heaven, a resurrection body, occupation with Jesus Christ, is more real than the problems or the difficulties of life. The winner believer is never, never afraid of death. In fact, he prefers and would much rather be out of the tent of his human body and in heaven, face to face with the Lord in his resurrection body. His destiny of heaven and being face to face with his Lord is far, far greater and more real than any difficulties or sufferings that he faces in time. Whether it is living in phase two or whether it is dying in phase two. So we are confident, winner believers. We are confident and courageous, I say. And for a far better reason, we prefer. The believer with a personal sense of destiny, who lives his life in the light of eternity, prefers to be out of the house of his human body and in the house of his interim body and eventually resurrection body, face to face with the Lord. He prefers his resurrection body over his human body. He prefers heaven over earth. He prefers being face to face with his Lord over being separated and away from his Lord. While the Lord has magnificent greater grace blessing for the winner believer in time, he has even greater grace blessing for the winner believer in eternity, phase three. So our verse says, we are confident and courageous, I say, for a far better reason. We prefer to be out of the house, out of the human body, and in the house, face to face with the Lord, in our interim body, and eventually resurrection body. This last phrase is the biblical definition of physical death. Physical death is the real you, your soul and human spirit, being out of the house. That is, out of your human body. At physical birth, God creates the real you, soul life, and puts you in the house of your human body. And then at physical death, God takes you out of your house, the house of your human body, and you are then in your interim body until the resurrection, the rapture, when you are in your resurrection body. So that last phrase, pros plus the accusative of kurios. Pros plus the accusative, P-R-O-S, this is face to face with. Face to face. Face to face with whom? Face to face with kurios. K-U-R-I-O-S, Lord, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Face to face with the Lord Jesus Christ. Pros plus the accusative of kurios. That means we will be in our interim body until the rapture, the end of the church age, when we receive our resurrection body. So again, we are confident and courageous, I say. And for a far better reason, we prefer to be out of the house, out of the body, our human body, and in the house, face to face with the Lord, our interim body, and eventually resurrection body. One. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 8 teaches the fact that there is an interim body for all those church-age believers who die before the rapture. So this is a very important verse. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 8 teaches the fact that there is an interim body for all those church-age believers who die before the rapture. Church age began at Pentecost. It ends at the rapture. Church age has been going on for a long, long time, and most church age saints have died before the rapture. And when they died, their soul and spirit left their human body, and face to face. Face means the body. To face. That's a deep point. Make sure you get that down. Face to face with the Lord. This is your interim body. So 2 Corinthians 5 verse 8 teaches the fact that there is an interim body for all those church age believers who die before the rapture. And that's most of them from the time of Pentecost up till now. When is the rapture going to occur? Well, frankly, if you ask me, probably tonight. The way things are going in the world and in America, I can't believe now they are having Satan clubs in grade schools all throughout this country. Satan clubs. Who's the ruler of planet Earth at this time? Satan is. And his thinking permeates the entire world, all over the world. There is greater and greater anti-Semitism right here in America. We hate this country. Has anti-Semitism all over. Your universities, academia, they are loaded with anti-Semitism. They hate Israel. They hate the Jewish people, as well as our government. And that, the Bible tells us in Genesis 12, verse 3, I will bless those who bless Israel, and I will curse those who curse Israel. And we are in the process of cursing Israel. And that simply means we are on our way out by our own bad decisions. We have no one else to blame but ourselves. And now, when I was in school, that was about 1,000 years ago, there were no Satan clubs. Nobody even thought about that. And now, we have it all throughout our country. So, point two, there is only one generation of church age believers that will go from living in their human body to instantly living in their resurrection body, and that is the rapture generation. And we might be the rapture generation. Certainly, the wheels have come off the wagon all over the world. But there is only one generation of church age believers that will go from living in their human body to instantly living in their resurrection body, and that is the rapture generation. Three, when you are in the house, face to face with the Lord, you're in heaven. When you are in the house, face to face with the Lord, you are in heaven. Four, for those church age believers who die before the rapture, you are in the house of your interim body, face to face with the Lord. For the church age believer who Those believers who die before the rapture, you are in the house of your interim body, face to face with the Lord. So five, this prepositional phrase, pros plus the accusative of kurios, face to face with the Lord, declares that you are in your interim body, face to face with the Lord Jesus Christ. So pros plus the accusative of kurios means that declares that you are face to face with the Lord Jesus Christ in your interim body. Six, you are in perfect happiness and bliss and waiting for the rapture, the resurrection of the royal family of God, church age saints. When you will then live in the house of your resurrection body. So you are in perfect happiness and bliss, waiting for the rapture, the end of the church age. At that time, you will live in the house of your resurrection body. Seven, the winner believer has a personal sense of destiny. He maintains the eternal perspective. And he's looking forward to it. The winner believer is constantly, he's looking forward to that day. Eight, and therefore he would much rather be in the house of his interim body or resurrection body, face to face with the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, he would much rather be in the house of his interim body or resurrection body, face to face with the Lord Jesus Christ. So 2 Corinthians 5, verse 8, in fact, this whole paragraph, verses 1 through 10, absolutely phenomenal. Now that brings us to 2 Corinthians 5, verse 9. And in the King James, boy, this is just a terrible translation. It says, wherefore we labor that. It does not say that at all. I have no idea how they got the translation, wherefore we labor that. So, let's find out what it does say. What it does say is absolutely beautiful. We have the inferential conjunction dio with the conjunction chi, plus the present middle indicative of philo temeomai. That's quite a word there. Philo temeomai. But, first of all, we have the inferential conjunction dio. That's D-I-O. Now, this is a compound word formed by crassus. It's the preposition dia plus the accusative of the relative pronoun host. When you have the accusative of host, it's ha. So we have dia plus ha, and what is that? By crassus, that's dio. Dio plus the accusative, you know what that means. Been here long enough. It means on account of, because of. Ha, this, because of this, on account of this. Now, by crassus, two different words, dio plus the accusative of ha, you have dio. That's what we have here. So on account of this, or because of this, or for this reason. So literally it means on account of this, because of this, for this reason. And when dio is combined with the adjunctive use of the conjunction chi, the adjunctive use of chi is also, it denotes that the inference is self-evident. So we have dio chi. Dio chi is correctly translated For this reason also, Dio Chi tells us that this is a self-evident inference and conclusion. For this reason also, and then philotimeomai, translated by the King James, labor. Now, if you're about ready to deliver a baby, you're in labor. But that's not philotimeomai. I'm glad we got a nice big screen now. I can get all this on here. Philotimeomai. Philotimeomai. Now, this is a very rare word, a very rare verb. In fact, philotimeomai is not even found in the Septuagint, the version of the Hebrew canonical scriptures. Not at all. And it is only found three times in the New Testament scriptures. And all three times it's used by the Apostle Paul. In Romans 15:20, in 1 Thessalonians 4:11, in 2 Corinthians 5:9, which is our passage. Now, what does it mean? One, philotimeomai means to have as one's ambition. To have as one's ambition, or to consider it an honor. To have as one's ambition, or to consider it an honor. Two, philotimeomai means to have as one's goal and objective. To have as one's goal and objective. The present tense has linear action start. You keep on having as your goal, you keep on having as your objective to please the Lord, whether you're in the house or out of the house, whether you're in your human body or whether you're in your interim body or resurrection body. You keep on considering it an honor to please the Lord Jesus Christ. That's philotimeomai. The middle voice is deponent, middle in form, but active in meaning. The winner believer, with a personal sense of destiny, performs the action of the verb. The indicative mood is declarative. This is an absolute truth of Bible doctrine. Corrected translation. For this reason also, we keep on having as our goal, we keep on considering it an honor. And then we have whether present or absent. And this is eta eta, the conditional particle ae combined with the enclitic particle te, and it's repeated. Eta eta plus the present active participle of endemeo, and then the present active participle of ekdemeo. Endemeo in the house, ekdemeo out of the house. So, eta 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 endemeo eta ekdemeo. Eta eta looks like this. E-I-T-E, you translate eta, eta, whether or, and then we have two verbs, eta endemao, eta ekdemao, endemao, we've had these verbs already in this passage, you know this, E-N-D, long E-M-E, long O. Endemao, in the house. And then we have ekdemao. E-K-D, long E-M-E, long O, out of the house. Ende mao in the house, ekde mao out of the house. So it says, eta ende mao, whether in the house, whether in the house of his human body, from salvation to physical death, or eta ekde mao, or out of the house, or out of the house of the human body, and that is from physical death to living in your interim body until the rapture, when then you will be living in your resurrection body. So, corrected translation. For this reason also, we keep on having as our goal. We keep on considering it an honor, whether in the house of our human body, phase two, or out of the house of our human body, phase three, in our interim body and resurrection body, that we may be accepted of him. This is the present active infinitive of the verb eimi, the to-be verb, plus the nominative plural of euarestos, plus the dative singular of autos. Now, eimi is the to-be verb. You're very familiar with that. E-I-M-I. To-be verb, the present tense, again, has linear action start to keep on being. The active voice, the winner believer living the spiritual life, performs the action of pleasing the Lord Jesus Christ to the maximum. The infinitive is epexegetical, completing the idea of the main verb, philotomai. So, one, the winner believer keeps on having as his goal to be pleasing to the Lord. This is why he's here. This is his thinking day after day after day. The winner believer keeps on having as his goal to be pleasing to the Lord. Two, the winner believer keeps on considering it an honor to be pleasing to the Lord. The winner believer keeps on considering it an honor to be pleasing to the Lord. And that's the word pleasing, el arestos. E-U, that's the word for L, good, well, A-R-E-S-T-O-S. So you actually have a compound word, L, which is good or well, pleasing, arestos. L arestos means well pleasing. In the New Testament scriptures, it is almost without exception, being well-pleasing to God. It takes a dative to introduce pleasing to someone. We have the dative singular of autos. A-U-T-O-S, and this is an intensive pronoun, but most of the time in Koine Greek, it uses the third person personal pronoun, and it's him, and him is the Lord Jesus Christ. So the corrected translation. For this reason also, we keep on having as our goal, we keep on considering it an honor, whether in the house of our human body, phase two, or out of the house of our human body, phase three, in our interim body or resurrection body, to be well-pleasing to him, to be well-pleasing to the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, this is This is the thinking that the winner believer has day after day after day. Whether he's in the living phase of his life or whether he's in the dying phase of his life. Whether he's in great times of prosperity or whether he's going through suffering for blessing. That great, greater grace opportunity to glorify God to the maximum in times of adversity. This is the thinking of the winner believer. So one, the winner believer has a powerful mental attitude that drives him to accomplish the spiritual objective, to be pleasing to the Lord. Whether he's in prosperity or adversity, whether he has great health or whether he has poor health, whether he's in suffering for blessing, the winner believer has a powerful mental attitude that drives him to accomplish the objective, to be well-pleasing to the Lord, no matter what's going on in his life. Two, the powerful mental attitude is developed by living the unique spiritual life of the church age by the spiritual skills. And that demands being empowered by God the Holy Spirit. The spiritual life is a supernatural way of life. It demands supernatural power for its execution. And that supernatural power is God the Holy Spirit. The filling of the Spirit. And then the teaching ministry of the Spirit. The winner believer seeks out to find a sound Bible teaching church and then assembles consistently and faithfully to learn, believe, metabolize the God-breathed scriptures, and then execute God's plan, will, and purpose for your life. So this powerful mental attitude is developed by living the unique spiritual life of the church age by the spiritual skill. Three, the winner believer is well-pleasing to the Lord. He is well-pleasing to the Lord because he has virtue love brought to completion in his heart. He has fulfilled the greatest commandment. He loves the Lord his God with all his heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second greatest commandment, he loves his neighbor as himself, impersonal love for all. So the winner believer is well-pleasing to the Lord because he has virtue love brought to completion in his heart, the great motivational virtue of personal love for God the Father, which motivates the great functional virtue of impersonal love for all and occupation with Jesus Christ. Four, the winner believer is well-pleasing and acceptable to God because he fulfills 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7. He walks by faith and not by sight. The winner believer is well-pleasing and acceptable to God because he fulfills 2 Corinthians 5, 7. He walks by faith and not by sight. Five. However, if you are not living the spiritual life, then you are living in Satan's cosmic system. You are under the control of the sin nature. And you cannot please God. However, if you are not living the spiritual life, then you are living in Satan's cosmic system, under the control of the sin nature. And you cannot please God at all. Turn over to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, starting at verse 5. Romans 8, 5. Those who live according to the sin nature have their minds set on what that sin nature desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, have their mind set on what the Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, desires. The mind of sinful man is death. That's carnal death. But the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. The sinful mind is hostile to God, antagonistic to God. That's cosmic two, interlocking systems of hatred. It does not submit to God's law, to the Word of God, nor can it do so. Those controlled by the sin nature cannot please God. They cannot please God. So point five, however, if you are not living the spiritual life, but you are living in Satan's cosmic system under the control of the sin nature, you cannot please God. Romans 8, 5 through 8. Six, the winner believer is well pleasing to the Lord because he lives his life in the light of eternity. The winner believer is well pleasing to the Lord because he lives his life in the light of eternity. Seven, the winner believer is well pleasing to the Lord because he has a personal sense of destiny, and he maintains the eternal perspective. The winner believer is well pleasing to the Lord because he has a personal sense of destiny and he maintains the eternal perspective. Point eight. It is extremely important for the royal family of God to develop and maintain the eternal perspective and have a personal sense of destiny, to live our life in the light of eternity. Why? Because we are all going to be evaluated by our Lord Jesus Christ at the judgment seat of Christ, and that's 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10. So it is extremely important for the royal family of God to develop and maintain the eternal perspective and have a personal sense of destiny, to live our life in the light of eternity, because we are all going to be evaluated by our Lord Jesus Christ at the judgment seat of Christ, 2 Corinthians 5, 10. So in this great passage, 2 Corinthians 5, 1 through 10, there are four reasons given why it is so important for the church age believer to maintain the eternal perspective and have a personal sense of destiny and to live your life in the light of eternity. Four reasons. Reason number one, that's 2 Corinthians 5, verse 1. Because our earthly house, our human body, is a skenos. It's just a tent. And that means it's very, very temporary. While our heavenly house, our resurrection body, is eternal. So reason number one, in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 1, is because our earthly house, our human body, is simply a skenos. It's just a tent. It's very, very temporary, while our heavenly house, our resurrection body, is eternal. Reason number two is in 2 Corinthians 5, verses 2 through 4. Because in this life on earth, there is suffering. While in heaven, there will be no more death, no more mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. Revelation 21, verse 4. Revelation 21:4 says, and he shall wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there shall no longer be any death. There shall no longer be any mourning or crying or pain. The first things have passed away. So reason number two, 2 Corinthians 5:2-4, because in this life on earth there is suffering. And for the winner believer, suffering for blessing. And that suffering for blessing oftentimes has lots of pain associated with it. While in heaven, there will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain. Revelation 21:4. Reason number three, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7. The winner believer, we are to walk by faith and not by sight. We are not to be preoccupied with the things which are seen, for the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And Paul taught this in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 18. 2 Corinthians 4, 18 says, while we do not fix our eyes on, we are not preoccupied with the things which are seen, the material, the visible, but we fix our eyes on, we are occupied with the things which are not seen, the invisible, the spiritual. For the things which are seen, the material and visible, are temporary. But the things which are not seen are eternal. And then reason number four, well, that's coming up in verse 10. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10. Because we are going to be evaluated at the judgment seat of Christ. Every one of us will stand before Jesus Christ and be evaluated by Him. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10. Now, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10 is a prophetic passage concerning the church. Church age saints, the royal family of God. And it will take place after this dispensation, after the church age comes to an end. And that prophetic passage deals with the Bema seat, the judgment seat of Christ. Now, in the divine outline of history, we are living in the dispensation of the church age. Now, there's a few things we need to know with regard to the absolute truth of dispensational truth. One, dispensations are divine categories of human history. Dispensations are divine categories of human history. Two, dispensations are both the divine outline and the divine interpretation of human history. Dispensations are both the divine outline and the divine interpretation of human history. 3, there are many interpretations of history, but the only accurate interpretation of history is the divine interpretation given by God in His God-breathed scriptures, and that is dispensational truth. So there are many, lots and lots of interpretations of history, but the only accurate interpretation of history is the divine interpretation given by God in His God-breathed scriptures, and that is dispensational truth. Now, in this divine outline of history, we, Church Age Saints, Royal Family of God, we are living in the dispensation of the Church Age. The church age began at Pentecost, Acts chapter 2, and it will conclude with the rapture, the resurrection of the royal family of God. This is the unique dispensation for the calling out of the royal family of God. We are living in the intensified stage of the angelic conflict. Throughout human history, Satan's attack has been on the line of Christ and then Christ himself. But for the first time in all of human history, Satan's attack is on every single believer, the body of Christ. Not on Jesus Christ, he's seated at the right hand of the Father. Now the attack is on the body of Christ. For the first time, the attack is on every single one of you, every single member of the royal family of God. And that's why we have this unique dispensation. That's why we have at salvation the baptism of the Spirit, the identification with Christ and His retroactive positional truth, His death and burial, and current positional truth. We are identified with Christ in His resurrection, ascension, and session, seated at the right hand of the Father. There never was ever before were believers in union with Jesus Christ. There was no baptism of the Spirit. There was no universal indwelling of the Spirit. Why do we have the universal indwelling of the Spirit? There was no spiritual life. Why do we have a spiritual life? Because we live in the intensified stage of the angelic conflict. You will be a casualty. I guarantee it. You will be a casualty if you fail to live the unique spiritual life that God has given you, which is a supernatural way of life. It demands supernatural power for its execution. That supernatural power is God, the Holy Spirit. That's why we were all indwelt by the Spirit as a base of operation for the filling of the Spirit, so that we don't become casualties in the intensified stage of the angelic conflict. And for the most part, Christians in America are casualties. They are casualties. Because they're not living this unique spiritual life by the power of God the Holy Spirit. And the attack is on, for the first time, every single believer, every one of you. The attack is on each one of you. So there are many interpretations of history, but the only accurate interpretation of history is the divine interpretation given by God in His God-breathed scriptures. Dispensational truth. Now, in the divine outline of history, we are living in the dispensation of the church age. The church age began at Pentecost, and it will conclude with the rapture of the church, the resurrection of the royal family of God. Four, during the dispensation of the church age, there is an absence of prophetical truth. During the dispensation of the church age, there is an absence of prophetical truth. Unlike other dispensations, the church age is the only era in which no biblical prophecy will be fulfilled, with two exceptions. What are those two exceptions? Point five. The only prophetic events concerning the church age are its beginning, Pentecost, and its termination, the rapture. That's the only prophetic events concerning the church age. Its beginning, Pentecost, Acts 2, its termination, the rapture. The beginning of the church age was prophesied by our Lord Jesus Christ. Turn over to Matthew 16, 18. Matthew 16, 18. The Lord Jesus Christ is teaching. He says, I tell you the truth. I tell you that you are Petros. You're a pebble, Peter. And on this Petra, this escarpment, I will build my church. I will build my church. Prophecy of the church age. And the gates of Hades will not overcome it. And then John 14. John 14. John 14. Start of verse 15, again, Jesus Christ is teaching, if you love me, that's the greatest commandment, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. If you love me, you will obey my mandates. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another parakletos, a helper, to be with you forever. And he has a special title here. The Spirit of Aletheia. The Spirit of Absolute Truth. Now, we're going to find another special title given to God the Holy Spirit. That's coming up in Romans. And it's the Spirit of Life. He has two very unique, wonderful titles. The Spirit of Aletheia, the Spirit of Absolute Truth, Bible Doctrine, and the Spirit of Zoe, the Spirit of Life. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him. Right now he lives beside you, the endowment of the Spirit. But he will be in the future, at the beginning of the church age, he will be in you, the universal indwelling of God the Holy Spirit, as the power to live the spiritual life so we don't become casualties in the intensified stage of the angelic conflict. And then John 16. John 16, verse 7. But I tell you the truth, it is for your good that I'm going away. Unless I go away, the Parakletos, the Helper, will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. The beginning of the church age. Verse 12, I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when the Spirit of truth, Pneuma Aletheia, the Spirit of absolute truth, the Spirit of Bible doctrine comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. And then turn over to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, verse 5, and the Lord Jesus Christ again declares, for John baptized with water, but in a few days, specifically 10 days, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Prophecy of the beginning of the church age. The church age began 10 days, Pentecost. And that is described in Acts chapter 2. So the only prophetic events concerning the church age are its beginning, Pentecost, Matthew 16, 18, John 14, 16 to 17, John 16, 7, 12 to 14, Acts 1, 5, Acts 2, and its termination. And the term, its termination is prophetic. That's the rapture passages, 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 through 18, 1 Corinthians 15, 51 to 55, Philippians 3, 21. Just its beginning and its termination. But in between, no prophecy. All right. Well, we'll pick it up at this point next time. I'm just getting warmed up. We have a lot of great things ahead. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.